Watch out.
Bobo!
It's back. Oh, boy. It's been too long, hasn't it? This is NFL Straya. I am indeed your co-host, James Clements. I'm a guy. You might know me and my mug from CodeBit. Go check that out. Good website, that one. Watch out. Getting the plugs in early, guys. Here in Larry Armour Studios, smashing a quick tin, getting excited. And on the other side of this here, actual new iPad. It's very nice. He looks handsomer than ever. It's a bloke who is fresh off getting his second Jalen Hurts So Good tattoo. This time on his left nut, it's a bloke sometimes known from singing in a band called The Ramshackle Limey. He's my mate. He is your mate. He's Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Jimmy, I've completely forgotten how we fucking do this.
Mate, it's been so fucking long. I know that people must think that we just talk all the fucking time and that we would have been making real plans on how this season was going to go. But that's not how it's gone. We're like, oh, football's coming up. Let's get fucking excited. And we ran a couple of fantasy football drafts and here we are.
Yeah, basically, our entire preparation appears to have just been drinking some beers, going, hey, we should record, and then drinking more beers. So that's pretty much it. Anyway, this episode, that's right, you might notice that NFL starts this week. Ergo, you got a new NFL Australia. That's right, it's a new season. Are you excited, Gaz? I'm excited.
I'm fucking excited. I've said goodbye to Mondays. This is yesterday was the last Monday with my wife for the next 6 months. She's got a hobby that she's going to take up on Mondays to just, you know, separate us in the house.
Is the hobby called stabbing Gaz?
Look, as long as she does it quietly and I can still watch football, we'll be fine. We'll be fine, mate.
I love it. All right. Well, this episode is going to set up this season. We'll talk it out. We'll go over some of the off-season moves very, 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 very briefly. We'll do some yeah-nahs, some awards, some Super Bowl picks. We'll wrap up a little bit of the fantasy draft and then we'll just preview week one. Like, that's it. Like, what else do you need, really? Like, do you need 3 weeks worth of, like, NFL Australia? Or, Gaz, this is who I think the division winners are. Hey, Gaz, these are the ones who will be the receiving leaders. Fuck off, don't care. Just tell us what's going to happen in the games. That's all we want. And so that's what we're going to do. All in one dumb, drunken NFL Australia package. And on top of that, Gaz, it's episode 50 of NFL Australia.
50?
Can you believe it?
Didn't we think we weren't going to make it past 8?
We left it on a cliffhanger after the off-season show on 49. So, anyway,
oh, look at
that. Let's get into it. Episode 50 of NFL Australia. Let's go. Is this what I came here for? Oh, yeah, Giselle. Jeez, I fucking get it. Jesus. Oh, God. Thank fuck I unretired. Oh, g'day. Yeah, this is Tom Brady. You're listening to NFL Australia. Oh, right, Gaz. So, you kind of hit on in the intro. A lot of stuff happened this NFL offseason. We covered it off in March. The cool thing was, not much else happened after. Oh, no, shit tons did. So, the thing is, when you go back over your NFL season, you always need that sort of quick refresher in your brain of like, where is everybody again? What's happening? Cool. Like, unless you're listening to every single podcast episode, there's always going to be something that slips through the cracks, right? But I feel like the biggest things that have happened, we can hit on them really quickly, and then we'll sort of get into the five big yeah-nahs, get to everything else, and really, really set up this entire thing for everybody. I want to start, I think, Russell Wilson gets traded. Off he goes, Seattle. Mr. Rogers, he re-signs in Green Bay. Mr. Vents goes to Washington. I want to call him Vents. It might change his game this year. But Carson Wentz goes to the Washington Commanders. Hey, Gaz, they're called the Washington Commanders now too. BT Dubs.
Gross.
Ugh,
gross.
The Washington C words.
Commies, mate.
Matt Ryan.
He's trying to take command of the situation, as he said in an interview the other day, mate.
We're gonna take command of what's happening to us. Why are QBs such fucking dorks these days? My question to you, Gaz. Russell Wilson's like, let's ride, Denver. Let's ride. Russell, we get it. They're Broncos. Let's ride. Shut up, Russell, you dork. Fuck. Ciara's going to go bang Future again, you nerd. Anyway.
You've seen my backup quarterback, Gardner Minshew, who lived his off-season in a caravan outside his gym. Fuck yeah, that's the guy we all need in our lives.
He's my spirit animal. I love that. Yeah. Apart from like going to the gym. We've got Matt Ryan on the Colts. Love that. I'll speak about that later. Baker Mayfield finally ends up in Carolina. The summer of Baker's discontent finally finished off. And then really finished off after Sam Darnold hurt his ankle in, what, week 3 of the preseason? Basically put that one to bed. Do you reckon Matt Rule just shot him in the ankle just so he didn't have to fucking deal with anything?
That's not a story.
This will solve the question for me. Devontae Adams ends up on the Raiders. Still not entirely sure about that, and I'll talk about that in the fantasy section.
He's claiming that he's going from one Hall of Fame quarterback to another, isn't he? It'll be fine, mate. It'll be fine.
Did he join Tampa Bay? Anyway, AJ Brown's on Philly. We all know that you're excited about that. You've got the Chargers adding JC Jackson, Khalil Mack, Kyle Van Noy. Oh, just basically taking the hat of the Patriots defense. Tyreek Hill and Chase Edmonds are off to Miami. Julio Jones, he's off to Tampa Bay along with Russell Gage. But no one's entirely sure exactly what's happening there in Tampa at the moment. We'll talk about that in a second. Amari Cooper ends up in Cleveland. Weird trade, that one. What was it, a fifth rounder? Bizarre.
And his contract, pretty much. It would just offload that contract.
Von Miller ends up on the Bills. It's like, oh, they added a Super Bowl MVP. Who's 33 years old? Allen Robinson and Bobby Wagner are off on the Rams. Pretty crazy. Pretty weird.
Hmm.
One of those ones where you're like, the Rams just, they don't have a salary cap, right? Like they,
no.
They're the one team not that just... all. Like, oh, no, that doesn't apply to us. We don't actually care about your so-called rules. Tom Brady unretired because he retired, Gaz. You might remember that. And then hung out with his wife and kids for 10 days, went,
nah, I'm all right.
I'm going to get back into preseason in February. Deshaun Watson, that piece of shit finally got suspended 11 games.
We're not going to spend much time on that debacle, are we?
Nah.
I think we're going to have to talk about it at some stage during the season, so we'll just let it fucking go, right?
6 and then 11 after the NFL appealed their own decision.
Anyway,
and the season's now about to start. So,
we did miss in that long list of excellent headlines. We missed the most important backup quarterback signing, re-signing of the last 15 years that Jimmy G's staying in 49er territory, which is not great if you're the starting quarterback who's coming off your rookie season and just wants some sort of comfort level that you can grow into your job, right?
That's called the Niners are shitting themselves contract.
Yeah.
Niners, we've watched Trey Lance play and we're not confident contract. Yeah. I like that. So, with all that in mind, look, there's been lots of movement. I think one of the phrases I've used on CodeBet has been, there's been more players have been moving around like rice on a snare drum. And I like that one. It was a nice turn of phrase, I thought. But okay. Either way, it feels like this year was, I don't know, because maybe some of the bigger names were taking up a lot of the oxygen this offseason. It feels like once sort of the Wilson trade happens, Rodgers stays, this sort of stuff, it almost didn't give us enough time to put a lot of these moves in perspective, Gaz, because they're pretty fucking big. And I feel like it's one of the bigger off seasons we've ever had, just in terms of the amount of starting quarterbacks that have changed, the coaches that have changed, the big names like Devontae Adams, AJ Brown, et cetera, who have changed. It's been massive, but it kind of feels like it's almost had moments where it's been hijacked by the likes of Rodgers, by the likes of Brady, where it's like, will they, won't they, what's happening? Like, the fact that Tom Brady retired somehow cost Miami a first-round pick. Unretired. And is like, then just fucked off for training camp. Yeah. Like, no, I'm definitely not on the Masked Singer, but I might be. But also, I might be getting divorced. Who fucking knows? Like, what a weird sort of offseason has been. Whatever. I'm excited for the season start.
Yeah,
and how do we start him?
Well, to be honest, it's if you go back to that coaching, you made a couple of good points there because it feels like, you know, there's always the coaching carousel every year, but
we're often just going through the same retreads, right? It's like, oh, we're going to get like 95-year-old Bill Parcells to see if he can fucking read a whiteboard. Like, honestly, look, it's out of control. But this year, it's all freshies, mate. We've got, we'll talk about that in the terms of the coaching hires and who's going to lose their job first later. But it's actually pretty tough because some of these guys are going to be on a little bit of a longer leash because it's a bit more of a prove yourself. And I don't know any year that this amount of starting caliber quarterbacks have moved or been on the block and ended up staying where they're supposed to be. But it was also the summer of high wide receiver, your contract means fuck all. All you need to do is threaten to not play. And you can go where you want, right? Look at it. All these Amaris and... Amari was... He'd built himself into a contract that was unsustainable. But, you know, guys like Tyreek and Devontae Adams just going, nah, I just don't want to... Nah, you're not giving me what I want. I'm off. So, anyway, it's there's definitely been some trends set that we will see for years to come.
Yeah, it's like... You hit on the coach thing. It's like someone like Cliff Kingsbury, you'd be like, well, he's definitely like in line to be one of the first five. And then you're like, wait, but they also just extended him in the offseason.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? I don't know. Anyway, crazy. Let's do some yeah, nahs, gaz. We'll fly all through right. Some of these. This is, you know, just a quick little, you know, preseason summary for some yeah,
taster,
nahs.
Mate. Just a taster. It's the tasting paddle of your NFL season.
You love a good tasting paddle. I remember being around the corner from our old apartment in New York and, just going to town on a couple of tasting paddles on the was it the barbecue and fried chicken joint? It's like, yes. How many things of bacon does this come with? And it's like, all right, we're never gonna see gas.
Oh, that was
the
whiskey
days.
Tasting paddle with five different strips of bacon. Every bar should do that.
Anyway, let's preview this season with some DNRs. Number one, Gaz. We'll do five of these. These are the five, the first ones that really just stuck out to
jumped
me.
Jumped out to you.
I've got a bunch of other ones. I've spent like the last couple of weeks just diving through NFL over-unders, team wins, award winners, who's got the best Super Bowl odds, who's got the best MVP odds. And like you look at all this preseason we've just talked about, and the thing that I just sort of landed on is like, this is the name I keep coming back to. The best... most impactful move this offseason was Rusty Wilson going to Denver from the Seahawks. Yeah, nah.
I have to give this one a big yeah, because although there's a lot of, you know, hindsight's going to be amazing at the end of the season because there's been a number of teams who have used those moves to put weapons on questionable quarterbacks, my own starting quarterback being one of them. Tua being in Miami, like the excuses are gone, right? So those sort of moves could be impactful.
Devontae Adams with Derek, David Carr.
Exactly. But look at all last year. How many times in our weekly wraps did we talk about their one quarterback away from being a proper contender? Well, they did. They, you know, gave everything they wanted, including Drew Locke. to Seattle, who are now talking like they got two starters and are resolving the Geno. But like they were that one piece, so they've moved that one piece. But unfortunately, they've lost Patrick for the season. But if you think about what that three monster wide receiving core would have looked like with Rusty throwing to them, you know, Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, and Patrick, that would have been fucking monstrous with a decent running game. Like, that offense is all of a sudden scary on the back of that defense that was keeping them in games. Yeah. So, yeah, that is got to be the most impactful move.
I kind of feel like it was the one that lifted the team who made the one move's ceiling the most, right?
Yeah.
Because they went seven and ten or whatever it was last year, and then, 17 weeks. Fuck.
17.
Oh, God. Yeah. But they then sort of have that moment where you realize, oh yeah, they're still playing in the AFC West. That sucks. It's tough. But at the same time, like, that was exactly what Denver needed. Just someone fucking competent. And Russell Wilson is more than competent. At least we think so. He just sort of each year seems to have an excuse. Oh, my finger's busted. I better come back too early. Well, that's not smart, Russell. What are you doing? Let's ride. Yeah. Settle down, mate. Settle down. But, I mean, this is the thing. Like, if he just stays healthy and just gives them above average quarterback play, I think they're fucking awesome, right? Like, that's my thoughts. Like, Denver being one of my favorite picks for especially the over the team win overs. A lot of their player props as well. You're kind of like, if this just clicks, it could click really well. And, like, their schedule, I think, is pretty soft until the last six games. And you feel like even if they get to that last six games and then just split those last six games, they can win 11 pretty handily and pretty easily if Russell's just half decent. So, Right, next one, Chargers and Philly. They're the two hyped preseason crew.
Are you saying most hyped or overhyped? Because there's two different statements in that.
I said what I said, Gaz. Because look, I'm actually on board both. I love you know that I love Justin Hurts and the Chargers.
It's painful for me to say this, but you said that to me on the weekend. I'm like, if Jimmy's on board, I'm fucked.
I also mentioned this to you probably about a month and a half ago, and also put some money on it at that time. So I feel pretty good about my decisions when it comes to Philly. And then I have also taken a step back and gone, now I'm relying on Philly.
Yeah.
Fuck, I've made a horrible mistake. Anyway, but the two overhyped preseason teams, do you think they're too overhyped?
Now, look, if I'll take them one at a time, the Chargers last year, that offense was just obviously lights out. Herbs was out of control. And they haven't taken a step back. In fact, they've added, Bill Belichick, prodigal son, first round running back, Sony Michel. So that pretty much pops them over the line. It's like picking on the Patriots about drafting first round running backs is like picking on the Eagles about drafting first round wide receivers. It's just fish in a barrel. But the pieces that they were missing, and you touched on it before in your rap about was those pieces on defense, and they've hit basically the all three levels of their defense and stepped that up. So you're not relying on Herbs getting into a shootout every single fucking game. I think that the hype is valid there. And if I look at the Eagles, without sounding anywhere too, because last year, at this time last year, I was having a bunch of fun because there was no expectation. There was literally see what happens. And we squeaked through with the 9-8 record, but no one could have seen what magic that Howie would come getting, improving on, not taking a step back in any line, right? So AJ Brown, Bradbury, getting Chauncey this week off the Saints, who just sounds like a trash talking prick, so he's going to fit in real well. Kazir White, getting Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean in the draft. Like, the defense has gone from fucking hell to, oh Jesus, this could be interesting to watch. So as we were talking about weapons, there's no excuse for Hurts this year, and the Eagles have got two first rounders next year in case he doesn't fucking work. So I think the hype's fucking there. Validly so.
They're overhyped, but I feel like they're also good teams and they're hyped for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm on board both and I don't like it. But either way.
I'm sure I'll let you know about it for the next at least 19 weeks, Jimmy.
Look, Jazzy Herbs, I think you're right about the defense for the Chargers, because now they don't quite have just the specter of losing every game 43-38, sort of down the stretch kind of vibe. So
exactly,
yeah. And Philly, like if they're just solid on sort of both sides of the ball, and if Hurts just gives them, again, if you want to talk about above average, like if he just doesn't suck, like I think they're pretty good. Number three, are Baltimore the sneaky team that no one's thinking about? Because I keep thinking about them, and they put the fear of God into me in the AFC. And if I'm every other team, I'm like looking at that going, hey, wait, how did their defense get better? Oh, fuck, and they're healthy? Come on, man. What do you reckon? Baltimore? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's the sneaky talk, and I touch on it later, about like Lamar with a team around him back at full strength. Like, fucking, is he all of a sudden back in the MVP race? They were
sneaky good or, you know, at least passable last year with what was seemingly unending plug-and-play scenarios, right? Pulling guys from the fucking stacking shelves in the local Walmart to fucking come and play running back and start at running back for the Ravens and still fucking pull off wins. So bring all that back with a strategy, with health and improving their lineup and fucking hell, mate, you've got to pay some respect considering one of their competitors is relying on Mitch Trubisky for at least... He's the captain now, mate. So Mitch Trubisky's a captain, so he's at least starting half the year.
You've got to start for at least a few weeks if you're the captain.
Yeah, exactly.
Baltimore, though, like I guess everybody's discounting them just that little bit because you're like, oh, hang on a second, they have zero receivers that anyone like really cares about, right? Like they've got, Bateman, and that's kind of it. And they've because they traded Hollywood Brown off to Arizona and... I mean, turned him into a first-round pick, but at the same time, their defense just, you look at it and you're like, God damn, that's too good. I don't like it. And the run game, Lamar, you just sort of look at that team and go, it just feels like a scary, typical Baltimore team. Like, if Dobbins stays healthy, look, receiving-wise, they've still got Mark Andrews anyway. Like, whatever. I think they'll be fine. But the other sort of sneaky team ideas I had, obviously, like Cincy, they just made the Super Bowl, but everyone sort of just, because they're Cincy. Because they're Cincinnati. No one sort of gives a fuck. Like, but I feel like this is the year where everyone goes, oh, right. Joe Burrow just threw for 5,500 yards and is an absolute weapon and came like second in the MVP votes or whatever.
So coming like, back from a busted ass fucking leg with a leading rookie quarterback, wide receiver, Jesus Christ! But when we're talking about all the teams, there's a definite amount of teams who, you know, kind of treaded water in the case of their additions and subtractions, and there's a few teams where you're talking about what Miami did, what Philly did, what the Chargers did, about who didn't lose anyone of significance, and then definitely added in terms of holes.
Yeah.
And that seems to be what Cincy kind of did as well. In terms of some decents in the offensive line.
Offensive line, right? Everly? They added like two, three dudes and they're like, all right, this is probably better than last year where Joey B is just getting fucking KO'd left, right, and center. Minnesota's my other one where it's like, they're kind of sneaky because they don't have Mike Zimmer as their coach. Like that might just be enough where it's like, oh, they don't have a sentient spud as their coach who's too busy rooting fucking Australian like 23-year-old models as opposed to bothering about coaching fucking NFL games. And more power to him. I'd do the exact same thing. It's like if I was in Mike Zimmer's shoes, I'd be like, wait, I'm getting paid Nah, I'm good. And Indy, the other sort of one, right, where they were led by Carson Wentz to a heartbreaking playoff miss at the last minute last year, which was hilarious. And they replace him with someone who's actually competent at the quarterback position in Matt Ryan. And that's kind of like, talk about slipping under the radar. It's like, yeah, we don't give a fuck about Indy. But Indy might, you'll turn around like at some point this year and Indy will be at like 8-4. And what the fuck just happened, man? So there's a lot of good sneaky teams this year.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota, Jesus Christ.
You're in mid-season form, Gaz. I love it.
I can't fucking talk tonight. I'm not even fucking half cut. Anyway, so first of all, we all know that I can't go for a team or give respect to a team with Kirk Cousins. And now they've just traded us for Jalen Reagor. So there's that element too.
That was one of the ultimate troll moves of this offseason as well, right? Like trading...
The two. Changing J.J. Arcega-Whiteside to Seattle to play opposite DK Metcalf, who we took over him. And the other one was, Jalen Reagor to be fourth string behind J.J. over there.
Absolutely loved it. Anyway.
But look, it's about to... you just don't know with a new coach. The Vikes always manage to steal, you know, defeat from the jaws of victory, right?
Are you having a stroke?
Oh, fucking hell, mate. I don't know what's going on.
Should I call Cash and get her run downstairs?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe there's not enough. Maybe there's too much blood in my alcohol system, Jimmy. And Indy's obviously they've got that defense, they've got weapons, and actually getting someone who will at least control the ball. One of the I guess the articles that came out of the Commanders camp was from one of the beat writers, was talking about, well, we've all got, you know, writers, mates in like the Cowboys and the Eagles, because, you know, we're beat writers and we interview each other and all that sort of stuff. He goes, we heard stories about the wild inaccuracies of Carson Wentz, but it's weird to see it if it's face to face, right? And so that's the stuff that Indy was trying to get over last time. Like, he would make some amazing plays that you're like, fuck, that's the guy. Like, on the run, in the end zone, down the sideline. And then he'd give up a fucking, like, shovel pass interception into the end zone. Yeah. And then
he'd really Carson like, Wentz it up.
He'd really Carson Wentz it up. And then lose to the Jags. So, like, win and you're in. Brutal. Right? Like, what the fuck?
Still brutal. Number four. Are the Bears going to be the worst team? Yeah, nah. I want to carry this one. Yeah. I can't. Like, Atlanta are going to be real bad. I don't think Houston are going to be as bad as that. There's always a surprise team that comes out of nowhere. You're like, wait, how bad could they possibly be? Seattle, Carolina, just a couple of other ones right there. Arizona, maybe, who knows? Washington. So there's like five or six contenders where you sort of look at them and go, you can make the case, that's fine. But just Chicago is so devoid of talent on both sides of the ball that I'm just like, I just don't see them. Like, at what point are they going to score enough points to beat like 30 of these teams? Like, at least with Atlanta, we know that they stink, but there's at least something on their offense where you go, Marcus Mariota knows how to play quarterback. They've got Kyle Pitts. They've got Drake London. And you look at Chicago and you're like, there's Darnell Mooney. And
Cole Kmet.
Cole Kmet. David Montgomery. Look, we've all been there. Like, they stink. Their defense stinks. Their offensive line stinks. Like, Justin Fields, God bless him. I'm here for Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields is good. I don't think he'll get a fucking chance to, like, show it, because he'll be on his ass, like, 75% of this fucking season. And it, because their offensive line is just a horror show. The defense stinks. I think they're going to be, like, one of those teams where you look at it and go, oh, this is just bad. Like, there's a couple of maybes on the defense, but otherwise, they're horrible.
I was going to reference it before, and you said about the Rams have no salary cap. I'm pretty sure they could have signed A-Rob for, like, half a packet of Samboy chips and a flat Pepsi, right? Like, he just wanted out, mate. He just didn't give a fuck. Like, when he's putting up 1,000-yard seasons with, what, Andy Dalton and fucking whoever they've been trotting out in the last couple of years, like, No. It's they got to go into full. Like, even when you look at the improvements, like, even just the draft this year that the Jets and the Lions and those guys had, plus some of what, because they've been cellar dwellers for a couple of years, they've got a bit of talent, like a nucleus, I guess, starting to come together. Whereas with the Bears, you're just like, I don't fucking see it. And when you talk about, obviously, the Falcons, Mariota will be, you know, passable. See if Ritter comes through, but you do have Drake London, who's going to go put up some jump balls for you, and you got Kyle Pitts, and you got Cordarrelle, right? So you've got some dangerous things that at least the competitors need to respect, at least. I don't know.
That if, like, somebody has a bad day, you, like, you might put up 17 points out of nowhere and, like, just sneak a win, whereas I just don't see Chicago having that offense where you're like, they scored 24 and beat Detroit. Like, I just don't see that. We're like, have what, Roquan Smith during the offseason going, get me the fuck out of here, yo. This fucking sucks. Yeah. And if you've got like a star dude like that, just going, nah, I'm good, please. And like making like public pleas to get the fuck out of Dodge, like, that's not great. Anyway, I think the Bears are going to be the worst team. That's my pick. They're great odds at the moment. I think they were still 850. I chucked a bit of walking around cash on that. Anyway, last one, divorce on the cards, skipping training camp, still not eating strawberries, point a tomato at him, you'll freak out. Is this the year Tom Brady pulls the pin? What do you reckon? Yeah, no.
Mate, he looked pretty weathered. There was that press conference the other day.
I'm 45 years old. Like, I've got a lot of shit going on. Yeah.
Fuck.
Tell me about it.
It's fucking hard to tell. I mean, how many years in a row have we got to say yes? before we just give up. You know,
this was half the joke of this one. I think we may have asked this like every season we've done NFL Australia. So
yeah, and do we put in that just to avoid, he's avoided training camp successfully, avoids the first four boring weeks, and Gronk gets a phone call in week 9 and says, "Yeah, I'll just come back for the last 6 in the playoffs."
Yeah,
right. Like, I don't even have a yeah or an ah for this one because either one of them's fucking going to be wrong.
It really does feel like there's probably more questions around Brady going into this season than there has literally, I think, apart from maybe that last year in New England where it was kind of like very clearly the Pats kind of like, well, I think we might be done. We might be done. We might be done. Like they were the only sort of question marks around it when you sort of had he said, she said of like Belichick and Kraft and Brady sort of back channeling their way to that sort of ugly divorce. That was like at least amicable enough on the surface, but this just seems weird. And I don't think we usually have like Tom Brady weird off season stuff on the bingo card, you know?
Yeah,
it's kinda like just train, do TB12, come out, kick some ass, take some names. And it makes me feel a bit wonky about this entire like Tampa Bay season, right? Like I'm just saying, like, if they lose week one, their entire schedule is a bit fucking tough too. So it could get a bit lopsided really quickly.
Yeah, true.
Right, let's do some awards. Who's going to win all the good shit? MVP, Gaz! I've thought long and hard about this one, and Rusty's my pick. He's 15-1 in some places, and I'm like, that's just too good. Like, because what do we need for a good MVP, Gaz? We need results. We need a bit of talent. But most of all, we need narrative. Oh, yes, we all love fucking narrative, don't we? Even if Aaron Rodgers sort of overcame the narrative last year and shouldn't have won it. But anyway, if Rusty lifts Denver up from 7-10 last year and they're 11-6, 12-5, he wins it. Well, that's basically kind of it. Like, Jazzy Herbs could be spectacular, could throw for 5,500 yards in his sleep. But we kind of all know that, what's going to happen there. They're also, half decent. Well, they were 9-8 last year. They fucked up down the stretch as well, missed the playoffs. If they are like the number one seed, Herbs can win it. But I think if Rusty has like just that amount of pushing Denver along and being the one big thing that they changed and him being the fulcrum of all that change, I think he just gets this narrative sway behind him. And of course, Gaz, what do we always talk about each year?
I can't believe that Russell Wilson's never gotten an MVP vote.
Well, it's pretty easy to believe, actually, because he's never put together a full season where he's been in the MVP conversation. So this is kind of it. I think Rusty is my number one pick. Herbs is my number two. And Joey Burrow's already hit on this earlier. Sneaky good pick too. And these are all pretty long shots, actually, when it comes to odds. Yeah. Like Rusty's 15, Herbs, I think, is about 10, and Burrow's about 12 or 13. Because you've got the Mahomes, Allen, Brady, Rodgers types at the very top.
Yeah.
But I feel like everyone's kind of got questions about them, you know?
Yeah, look, I mean, that's what I've gone one of the obvious ones. But it doesn't just come down to results. It comes down to that narrative. So Allen was shit hot last year. He, that entire sob story. Oh, we can't say a sob story. It was a fucking valid that they were knocked out of the playoffs after one of the most out of control endings to a game all time and didn't get to touch the ball. Right. So if he comes back and that offense has been shit. I know it's preseason, but they've been fucking lights out in the preseason and looking to continue. Fuck, if he takes him that extra step, you just got to go, well, fuck, right? And particularly when those guys around him, when you are talking about that top tier, that number one weapon's gone for Mahomes. We don't know what sort of Brady's going to show up. Fucking Rodgers is, fuck, who knows? He's fucking taking a hallucinogen somewhere. He still thinks, he's still that high on drugs that he's trying to convince people that Lazard's a fucking Hall of Fame wide receiver. So, look, I reckon, Alan, that this is the year that he takes that one extra bit. And if you talk about the narrative, that slighted last year, taking it to the promised land this year, that gets him over the line. If not, though,
talking about the sneaky guy, if after the narrative of the really injury riddled season last year for the entire team, then getting healthy and then taking them deep into the playoffs, is Lamar back in that conversation again? So that's why he's come up there in terms of my second, and then the Herbs. I mean, obviously, you add a defense to that where he's not relying on his arm. They go deep into the playoffs, and all of a sudden, what a fucking superstar this boy is.
Yeah, like Staley is a bit of a loose cannon as their coach, but like it feels like second year, it just feels like it could just really coalesce and they could go like 14-3, and you'd be like, oh, fuck, yeah. Herbs is smashing it, but that's kind of my argument for Cincy as well, right? He's got the best receiving corps in the fucking NFL, like between Higgins, Boyd, and Chase, like, if he stays upright, who knows what the fuck they could do? Like, Cincy are awesome. Like, I think the Cincy Baltimore top two, any which way, is what, like, the easiest bet this entire NFL offseason, right?
Mm.
To top the AFC North, because Cleveland are a fucking basket case and Pittsburgh stink. So, barring injury, obviously, like, Lamar and Joey B, they'll be 1-2 in some order in that AFC North. And Joey B could crush it. But yeah, Herbs, look, that's a great one. I just really like the Rusty thing because I feel like this is the year. Yeah. Like, it's probably his last best chance as well.
Yep.
You know, he's got the narrative behind him with the coming in, changing a culture, changing a team. Oh, I just took it to the promised land. He did. That's what he did. He showed them all how to win. Rusty, let's ride. Shut up, idiot. Anyway, offensive player of the year. This is one I threw in there last minute because, like, I mean, Jonathan Taylor... last year, Derrick Henry, they're the sort of obvious names, but Alvin Kamara is like the one thing that sort of stuck out to me where if he's healthy, you know that he's James Winston's security blanket all season and could have one of those multiple years where he's like a shit ton of receptions, a shit ton of rushing yards, and he's like the absolute basis of everything that the Saints do on offense with Michael Thomas maybe coming back, even though he's pinged his hammy already again, and Chris Olave, and just like that pretty weird, funky Saints team, Kamara could be the one for me. Justin Jefferson's the other one, and Aaron Jones are sort of my top three. Jefferson, because I feel like this year, with an actual coach who wants to use him, and, you know, he could put up 2,000 yards. Like, he just fucking could, just like Cooper Kupp last year. Because guess who his coach is, Gaz? It's Cooper Kupp's last fucking offensive coordinator. I'm just saying, he could drop 2,000 yards. And Aaron Jones, like, I think the Packers will be really, really, really reliant on him and A.J. Dillon, right? Like, considering that Aaron Rodgers, what'd you say? Alan Lazard is his best weapon, right? Yeah. Like, and Romeo Dubs, like, that's kind of it. Like, so Aaron Jones might just be pretty big, but I guess he might get stuck into, like, a bit of a timeshare with A.J. Dillon, but... could also just have a really good year. Anyway.
Yeah. Look, I think one thing that will obviously have a dark cloud over your picks for that is punching the shit out of someone in a car park during the Pro Bowl weekend.
Yeah, true.
So whether Kamara gets suspended this year, whether it comes up, I wouldn't be putting money on him. I was avoiding in fantasy, and that was just because... you know, same with DeAndre Hopkins, right? They could be the best player in the league, but if you miss the first 7 weeks, like, what do you do?
Yeah.
So, tough pick. But if he's there, you're right. The offense goes through him.
Yeah.
For me, I'm going to do it, Jimmy. I'm going to say it. It's fucking CMC this year. The last 2 years, injury riddled. He's now got someone that, you know, they just put everything. 30,000 touches. Those tires are fresh, mate. He's got fresh wheels. He's got a new quarterback with swagger who just wants to fuck everyone up. I'm actually, CMC's my pick to take it.
As long as that's your money that you're burning on that and not mine, I'm fine with that pick.
Didn't draft it. Someone in our Dynasty League gave up a current and a future first rounder for CMC. So, yeah, we're interesting to see how much of a knee he's got left. But anyway.
He's going
to
look at the defensive line and, like, his leg will snap. Like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Like, no good.
Chase,
Chase is obviously, the problem with him is obviously he's a deep threat that's always going to put up yards. The challenge is obviously he's in a deep receiving core, but it didn't stop him last year. And with an offensive line that's going to give Joey B more time, Chase could take another step up in year two. And the other one is I'm taking a flyer here on Adams. Devontae Adams is, look, he's got a, he wanted to go follow his college quarterback, right? He's in his happy place now. And if you got,
he does realize that his college quarterback fucking isn't that great though, right?
No, but you have to respect Hunter Renfrow underneath. You have to respect Waller.
Sure.
So they can't, he can't just be double teamed. Like, I mean, as much as they, like Alan Lazard and Valdez Scandling looked better in Green Bay because not only was Aaron Rodgers throwing to him, because he was double teamed constantly.
Yep.
Now there's more weapons in fucking, so he's going to be running free a little bit more. So that's an outsider, and I'm still reckon CMC's where I'm going.
And neither of us, you know, brought up Jonathan Taylor or Derrick Henry. For me, like, my point for that was just, like, just the sheer workload. Like, you're going to get, like, a week eight hit, and then, boom, they're out for, like, 4 or 6 weeks or something just because they're being run into the ground.
But also, how many seasons in a row do you put that up, right? I mean, the carries that Derrick Henry's been putting up, but also most running backs regress to the mean either in like the second or third year. So Taylor was off the charts last year.
Yep.
Keeping that up in a Frank Reich offense is not always as
but that's why I liked Kamara, right? Like with a couple of like interrupted years, it's like the first time we sort of come in healthy and you're like, oh, well, that's good. Holy shit, let's go.
You just fucking told my CMC story for me. That's exactly why I've gone that way, mate.
Love it. Defensive player of the year, quick one for me, Micah Parsons. He was amazing last year and I think he wins it this year. Ahead of TJ Watt, who won it last year, and then A. Bosa. It doesn't matter which one, Nick or Joey, I'm taking the field of Bosa's. So it feels like one of, like, I feel like the Niners will be pretty handy. And Joey down there, he's the one on the Chargers, right? Yeah. And I think, oh, fuck, I hope so. mixing up my Bosa's. Either way, like, both on pretty good defenses and we'll both be around. And, like, they're both very noticeable. Like, they have that TJ, JJ Watt quality of being just fucking gigantic and always in your face. Yep. So, but Micah Parsons for me.
Yeah, look, I agree. As much as it fucking pains me to say, that guy scares the crap out of me. They lost extra rushes on, they lost Randy Gregory on that D. Their secondary, as much as people will talk about Diggs, he still allowed 1,000 yards on him last year. But the scary thing is, Micah can drop into coverage and he scares the shit out of quarterbacks because he will bust through that offensive line. So, I think him and TJ are similar kind of roles in that vein, right? Like, so I reckon they can get to it. And as a third, look, I don't know, it's obvious, but Aaron Donald's always in and around that, right? He's anchoring that defense, and you know, you're never going to get it as a cornerback, well, not never, but I can't imagine someone like a Jalen Ramsey or someone like that getting it. But Aaron Donald's always going to be putting pressure on those guys up front, so he's a third pick. But for me, Micah is definitely the guy.
Yep. It's some good stuff. He's going to be awesome this year. Rookie offensive player of the year, I've got Damian Pierce. I think just the Texans will just use him. They got nothing else. It's like him and Brandon Cooks and nothing else. And then I couldn't decide, George Pickens or Drake London. A couple of awesome receivers. You could throw Olave in there. You could throw Dubs in there as well. Like, there's like this weird collection of four odd, you know, rookie receivers this year that I just fucking love. And I can't decide between any of them. So, like, just rattle them off, whatever. Like, it's offensive rookie of the year. Like, one of them will pop. I just don't know which one. Like, they're all very good, I think. Anyway.
Well, yeah, that was one of the article I read today. Was this is the highest expectation of first round impact players in a draft that we've had for years.
Fuck.
Right? The amount of you know, I guess even if you look at Breece Hall, my pick, I think it was top of the second. To be fair, But he's going to come straight in as the starting running back for the Jets. Olave, you know, who knows what the fuck is going on with Michael Thomas. Kamara could be out for 6 weeks, and all of a sudden this rookie is stepping up as a focal point. And Jameis Winston's going to come out and throw 7,000 yards and 80 picks. So you definitely know they're going to search downfield. And Olave is the guy to take advantage of that.
Nice one. Defensive. Oh, you've got one more. Sorry.
Oh, Pickens. Oh, I agree with Pickens. My problem with that is Trubisky, first and foremost.
The Pittsburgh quarterback throwing in the ball, right?
But also, there's a number of weapons that, like, they just, the Steelers have just become a wide receiver factory, yeah, right? So spreading that ball around is going to probably take away from that value as that superstar as a rookie.
Yep, defensive rookie. I mean, we've both got Aiden Hutchinson. I think he looks like a beast. That's also a bit of the Hard Knocks hype, though. Just
I was about
him.
To say that.
Is he's
that
just the, like, fucking hell. Hard also, stuff. His family yeah. is hot. it's like, Jesus, is that mum? Settle down.
We're also getting fucking old. You realize that, Jimmy, right?
Yes we are. Kyle Hamilton was my next one as well. The Baltimore safety. He looks unreal. And Jordan Davis, your man.
Yeah, I think when I put mine down, I don't think you'd written Jordan Davis. But
I hadn't. I realized I had two, and I had him. His odds are like pretty long, and I liked it pretty heavily, actually. But anyway.
Yeah, look, the thing for Jordan Davis is it's going to be hard for him to stand out because he is a fucking monster, and he's going to demand double teams straight away from that offensive line. He does have Fletcher Cox next to him, but he's on the way down. But his job is pretty much going to be to free up guys like Hassan Reddick that we picked up in the offseason to allow him to blitz the quarterback. So it'll be tough. Even if he plays like a superstar, he's not going to put those flashy highlight plays on. But the other one for me is Sauce Gardner, right? Didn't give up a touchdown in college. Going to come in. You know, if he continues that trend on some wide receivers who've taken that exact next step up, well, then he might show his value. He's always also going to have that personality. You want to be in front of, you know, in front of the camera, like on Hard Knocks.
Yep.
And Sauce Gardner's got that personality. Isn't he already got like a barbecue sauce sponsor?
I think so, yeah.
Or something like that. Fucking hell.
Love it. Comeback player of the year. I've got McCaffrey. I think he just, if he stays healthy, he wins it. Like, I feel like it's weird that, I think Derrick Henry might be the shortest odds. But that's weird for me because he's already come back. He came back in the playoffs last year. Like, isn't that weird? But anyway, McCaffrey, I think if he just stays healthy all season and is half decent, he probably walks away with that one.
Yeah, look, it's hard for me to pick the fucking offensive player of the year as CMC and then not name him as comeback player of the year. But the other one that's set up for it is Jameis, right? Like, if he's going to come in, if he's ever going to have a shot, he needs to have that that comeback season for the Saints, lock down that starting quarterback position. He's not blind anymore, so he can't play that. He can see the receivers downfield. They've got him a first-round weapon.
They got him some contacts. Yeah. Like, it's all good.
Yeah, got him some contacts, some LASIK. So no excuses.
Love it. Really quick one, rushing title. Who do you think actually runs the most? Like, Jonathan Taylor is the obvious one, but there's a couple that stuck out to me. Saquon Barkley and Najee Harris are both pretty long at the moment. You know that Najee's going to get the ball a shit ton. The problem with that is that the Steelers' offensive line sort of stinks, and the Giants might just be pretty fucking bad. But the thing is, like, isn't that the point with Saquon? Like, they probably won't want to keep him. They're going to run him into the ground anyway.
Yeah.
And why the fuck wouldn't they give him the ball heap? So I think Saquon was really long to the point where it was like $41 or something. So
yeah, I was into, obviously, a deep dive into a lot of what's going on in the NFC East. And there was a Giants written article the other day about the horror show that is already their off-season injuries across their offensive line, defense. They're hobbled. They're just, and it's just shit for Saquon because this is the year he's like, I'm fully probably healthy. He's come out and made a whole bunch of statements going, right, I'm gonna show the doubters. I'm usually keep quiet and to myself and I'm going to fucking do it. And then they're fucking dropping like flies, man. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, mate, might have to... look at that New York Giants under for the win.
Yeah, well, that oh mate, that's what I was thinking of putting them in my what's possibly the worst team in the league. And this when you're talking about prove yourself years, like they've already said no to Danny Dimes' fifth year option, so they could be going back to the quarterback well next year.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Coach of the Year. I've got Sean McDermott of the Bills just because I kind of think that sort of Bills team, as you sort of alluded to earlier, like I think there's a couple more questions about the Bills. Like the fact that they're Super Bowl favorites, the Josh Allen's MVP favorite, that doesn't usually tend to work out great. Like preseason favorites, never really that kind of thing. But I think during the regular season, I think this is the year that it sort of clicks a bit more. Talk about like teams that, like the Chargers, could go absolutely bananas and like end up like 13-4. That screams Buffalo to me. And I think McDermott would be the guy who wins it then, if that's the case, and they get the number one seed in the AFC. Because that's the other sort of thing that we haven't really hit on. The AFC is just much, I don't know, tougher and much deeper than the NFC this year as well. So if you, apart from like, I mean, the fact if you're in the AFC West, that's just a fucking horror show. Like we've talked about the NFC West for years and years and years being like the gauntlet. This year, it seems like it's the Rams, the Niners, and nothing else, right? Whereas the AFC West this year is an absolute fucking horror show between Denver, the Chargers, KC, and the Raiders, right? Like, holy crap. So if Buffalo come out on top and they've won a substantial amount of games, like over 12, then I think McDermott should get the nod.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at this. This all goes back to the moves that we've continued to touch on, right? Like you've got big moves that stayed within the AFC, such as, you know, Tyreek going, you know, from Chiefs to Miami. But then if you look at the ones like Matty Ice going to the Colts, what Rusty going to Denver, Adams going to Vegas. Like all of these ones are like all of this talent is going out of the NFC into the AFC to make that more convoluted, right? You know, AJ's come over our side. You know, Wentz going to Washington. That's actually more mediocre coming back into
more
this
wins
division.
For all so, the NFC. Like
yeah, Amari going over to Cleveland, right? So it just does seem like the talent is a lot is very stacked across more teams in the AFC, let's just put it that way. Mine, mate, I can't go past it. If you can, if Nicky Sriracha, Nick Sirianni can turn around.
Nicky Hot Sauce.
Nicky Hot Sauce can turn around a 4-win team 2 seasons ago in a second round quarterback that no one thought that they can, that Howie can surround him by weapons and they can make a deep playoff run. If, well then. Mate, he's got to be in the conversation. There you go.
Yeah, also you're an Eagles fan. First coach
exactly.
fired.
I didn't say I was unbiased.
First coach fired for me. I like that yours was the same. Matt Rhule. Feels like he at least had a plan, and then I feel like it went a little bit upside down, and I think he might just get the arse this year because I don't think they'll be very good. They could have those moments where you're like, oh, Baker's showing something, and maybe they actually sort of think about keeping him. Longer term, but they give Matt Rhule the arse. And then, of course, what happens when you do that? The new coach comes in, doesn't like the existing quarterback, and it turns into a shit show. And Baker's trying to find a new job pretty soon anyway. So I think Matt Rhule, I think Carolina, if they struggle, then, yeah, they pull the pin.
Yeah, I mean, they're an infuriating franchise. And knowing a couple of supporters, I'm sure they would echo that. Mainly because their definition of a rebuild has been going to get middle of the road kind of people at the most important position, right? Like they've never thrown all the dice in and gone, right, let's tear this thing apart and start from scratch. And they've just been trying to tread water since Cam, you know, stopped being Cam. Right. So, and when we were talking before about the coaching carousel and a whole bunch of new faces giving a long, you know, long rope, Matt Rhule just kind of seems like the longest tenured without having proven anything. You know what I mean? Like Ron Rivera's done nothing. If they miss the playoffs this year, which is highly likely, right? If they miss the playoffs again, yeah, that's going to be, what, 3 years in a row? And he obviously, on his way out of Carolina, he missed the playoffs like 2 or 3 years in a row there. So 6 years in a row as coach, but he's got that pedigree. He's got that resume that buys him that little bit of extra time. And then there's a whole bunch of other guys who are there, but, you know, have got kept. They've at least got those pieces, that nucleus, you know. Like we'll talk about Dan Campbell. You've got those first round draft picks that you have to let mature and those sort of things. But there are a couple of players that I would, coaches, that I wouldn't be surprised. Like if Rivera doesn't make it this year and they've gone and invested in Wentz and it's their third round at just picking up quarterbacks, does he go? I can guarantee you now that if the Cowboys miss the playoffs, McCarthy's gone.
Yeah, of course he is.
That's fucking made. But that's very the thing, like,
he's still not the first coach fired, right? So he definitely
exactly
gets the
exactly.
Arsh.
We're still talking about getting to the end, and that's why they're probably the easiest ones to be knocked out of playoff contention first.
But do you think
a hot seat?
I don't feel like Jerry's going to pull the trigger on McCarthy before the offseason, though, right? Like, he'll get Sean Payton all signed up in the offseason. Off we go. We'll overhaul this shit, and away we.
Yeah, likely. But if you think about it, like, Stefanski's only saved because his front office has made it basically an unwinnable situation.
Yeah,
because
they could suck this year and Stefanski should keep his job because it's not his fault, probably.
Exactly, so, yeah. Exactly.
Right, nut crunch time. Who wins the Super Bowl, guys? I've got KC over the Rams. I think KC, this is going to be one of my things this year. I think KC are better than we remember.
They lost Tyreek Hill,
yeah, and they went out and replaced him with, like, more receivers and a better offensive line, which, across the board, I feel like if you're giving Patrick Mahomes more time to do stuff, then it's probably a good thing. I feel like Kansas City get there over the top of a Chargers team. Yeah, they go through, I want to say, the Chargers. So Baltimore, Cincy, and the Chargers. That sounds about right. In some fashion, I don't know. I think I picked the Chargers to win that division, but I think KC made the Super Bowl and I think they win it. And the Rams make it there as well. Maybe I thought about putting Philly. I didn't want to blow smoke up your ass too far though. So.
No. I'm not pushing. While I took a flyer and put fucking $10 on Philly to win the Super Bowl pre-draft because I thought it would be hilarious and give me something to follow through the season. I'm not taking it seriously. But I really, when we're talking about loss, you know, additions and subtractions, I don't really see the Rams lost anything in that offseason, right? Not that they haven't at least negated by people like A-Rob, right? Yeah. You know, so I don't really see, as it currently sits, and there's always surprises during the season, I don't really see anyone from the NFC overtaking them or made enough significant moves to do that. So I think they'll get there. But I just can't go past that it's the Bills, right? I feel like the Bills are, this is their time. This is their next step. And I think we said it last year.
Yeah.
But they were literally that, you know, an overtime away from being. We weren't that far wrong.
Yep.
So, you know, they were that overtime. I think this could be that, be Josh Allen's year. And I know you're playing, I'm playing the odds, but maybe there's a fucking reason.
Way to take the favorites, guys. Way to take the favorites.
Oh, I'm mate.
Just saying. But yeah, you're right about the Rams. I feel like in terms of NFC teams, they are actually, there's no one else that's as imposing, you know? Because they just sort of scare you on defense because they've got Aaron Donald. They've got weapons everywhere. That offense, if Stafford's healthy and his elbow's not fucked, like, they're just kind of fucking scarier than every other team. Apart from, like, unless Tampa Bay, like, it all just fucking clicks under Todd Bowles. Like, maybe. But the Rams are still scary.
A brand new Geno might come out and the Seahawks might be right fucking Seahawks. There.
Right, fantasy. What a fun draft we had the other day. So we'll keep updating.
Already, mate.
We'll keep updating fantasy throughout the year, just talking about who we like week in, week out, what's going on. Our recap of the draft, I mean, it was just a good time. Had a bunch of folks on the video chat, talking some shit, drinking some beers, hanging out. Just, you know, guys being dudes. Dudes being guys. there was zero nudity, which is good. Josh taking Damien Harris was the highlight of the entire draft, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You taking about 87 different quarterbacks, also probably one of my favorite moments.
And, well, only I had to go hard because I was eating pizza and actually got auto drafted AJ Dillon when I meant to take Aaron Rodgers. So there was that.
Love it. Absolutely love it. But yeah, I think I played Josh actually this week, and his team is actually really fucking good though. So I'm a little bit scared.
Don't tell him that. I'm going to have to fucking hear about it.
Because he's got like Herbs and Tyreek Hill and Delvin Cook and Chase. It's like just a deep, good team. But yeah, him getting Damien Harris, who just completely fucked him last year, was great. But it was a good time. Good hangs.
Yeah.
And can't wait to spend this season having a crack in the NFL Australia Legends League.
Yes.
Any fantasy questions, send them through to us. We'll answer them.
Yeah.
Anything else to add, Gaz? How are you feeling about your team?
Yeah, no,
no one cares. No one cares. Shut up. Previews. Let's do it. right. NFL season is back. On Friday.
Fuck.
Friday. And the
Super
Bowl.
How much work
is
going to get done after 10:30 on Friday?
Zero if you're in my office. LA Rams, the Super Bowl champions. The superb owl Rams. Matt Stafford, Super Bowl champion. He'd never won a playoff game. He goes and wins the Super Bowl. Hosting the Bills. The Rams are somehow underdogs in this game at home. 2.5 points. I've gone with the Rams. Because I think everyone's been blowing smoke up the Bills' ass all offseason.
Yep.
Super Bowl favorites, MVP favorite. The Rams are going to look at this go, oh, yeah, that's a cool story. Fuck you. Bang. And to get 2.5 points, like even if they lose by one or two in an absolute belter, like still going to cover. So give me the Rams plus 2.5.
Yeah. Look, as much as I feel weird taking my Super Bowl team and then betting straight against them. Rams at home, like beginning of the season, traveling, getting everything together for the Bills. Like I still just think that I think the Rams have got that one as well.
Yeah. It's always a weird one as well, that first game of the season. Like it's a bit funky. It's a bit scrappy. It's Thursday night. Like it's just kind of strange. I think if you're at home and you're the champs, it's just that little bit easier, you know? Pittsburgh. Yeah. Going to Cincy. There's a lot of amazing matchups this week, Gaz. You know how I feel about division matchups in week one? Yep. I don't like it. I think we can get enough really good matchups in week one of the NFL season when we haven't had NFL football for fucking ages that we don't need shit that could actually end up deciding a division happening in fucking week one. You know?
Yep.
It's kind of,
exactly.
It's just a bit funky. It's a bit weird. Pittsburgh, Cincy, he's not really quite one of those because I expect Cincy to kick the fuck out of them. They're 6.5 point favorites. I've gone with Cincy. I think Joey B and the crew come out and just beat the fuck out of Pittsburgh because they've been the Steelers whipping boys for years and years and years and years and years in Cincy. And this is when the hurt gets laid down. I'm excited. Go Cincy. 6.5.
Yeah,
gone
I think,
Cincy
I think,
as well.
I think they've got a point to prove. As you said, you know, they were always kind of the redheaded stepchild.
Oh,
no
that's
pun
not
intended,
nice.
Andy Dalton. No, no picking. That's not picking on Jimmy. It's not picking on the Andy Dalton years. But they were always kind of the third wheel, in that division. And now it's time for them to go. Hey, guess what, boys? I was unsuspecting last year, and now it's time to prove our point.
It's also one of the great uniform matchups in the NFL. The orange and black versus the yellow and black. And to waste that in week one feels like just strange. I'm like, this is a week four matchup when you're really getting into NFL gear and you're just like, yes, let's go. Now we've finally got Pittsburgh Cincy. Anyway, Philly, Detroit, your guys going to Detroit. They're favorited by 3.5 points of the Eagles. I'm going Philly because I thought about Detroit here for a second because this smacks of a game where everyone's talking about blowing smoke up everyone's ass. Philly have been flated over the past month and a half. The odds have shortened, shortened. And 3.5, doesn't this feel like the game that Philly pull out of their ass and win by 3? And so they don't cover and they pull out of like a really unconvincing win. It feels like a very Philly thing to do, but we've just both gone with 3.5 because I feel like that unconvincing win might be like a 4-point win, you know, more than anything else.
I was
I actually put money on this, and I don't put much money on much, but because I was actually surprised, and they have shortened even further, because I got it at 4.5, and yep. I went, Jesus, okay. I think they're going to come out, they deliberately, and this came out in some of the preseason games, where Jalen Hurts came out pre-game and said to AJ Brown, you're not getting the ball at all today. And he literally ran distraction routes for 2 series and then fucked off. And it was literally like, we do not want to show, we haven't shown him anything, yep. right? So I can, they're going to come out, AJ Brown's going to get 3 of the first 5 passes aimed at him. And then they're going to run Miles Sanders into the ground. He's going to be off for the next 16 weeks. But no, I think this should be, I hope it's convincing, right? So yep. I'm all aboard that 3.5 points.
Interesting. Yeah, I think they just sneak it out and they just cover. Indy go to Houston. They're 7.5 point favorites. Always a bit dangerous when you play a bad team in the first week, I think. Yep. We saw it last year, right? Did Houston beat the Jags or did Jags beat the Houston at week 1? It was one of those weird games where one of them came out and just beat the other one. You're like, hey, are they good? And they were not good.
No, they were not.
Because they didn't win again. And I think it was Jacksonville, right? They won in week 1 and then they didn't win until again, like in week 15 or 16 or something crazy. So
yeah.
And then pulled out like Mills, a couple of extras out of nowhere.
Yeah, Mills squeaked out a couple of wins last year. Obviously, rookie running back coming in first games, not hot. I don't have a lot of weapons. They were better, I guess, than expected last year a little bit, and they've added a little bit. But I still don't think, like, Matty Ice is going to come out there. The Indy defense is going to shut them down, and
yep.
Matty Ice has got a point to prove now.
They win by 14.
Yeah, I reckon they win.
Like, yeah. Easy. Yeah, I've gone Indy 7.5. We both have. Atlanta host New Orleans. I went to this game in 2018, I want to say. An amazing game in Atlanta. Absolutely fucking chaos. We saw Calvin Ridley, I think, tear it up for maybe the tune of like 3 touchdowns in that game. One of the single loudest things I've ever been a part of was that Atlanta-New Orleans game. We had people dancing, singing, losing their shit the entire game. It went to overtime. It was fucking awesome. And I'm taking Atlanta +5.5 because it just feels like these are the weird, you know, division matchups in week 1 where it just gets a bit funky. And I just can't trust New Orleans to cover 5.5 in week 1 with all the questions around that team with Jameis. I don't know. I just feel like Atlanta stick with them just enough and like New Orleans somehow win this like 17-14 or something weird and Atlanta cover with that 5.5. You've gone the Saints though.
Yeah, because Atlanta's defense was just
so bad.
Fucking horrible. So bad. Right? So I know, look, and they've come out this year or in the offseason, they've said, look, we're going to get running back help because we don't want to give Cordarrelle that many touches. We want to keep him fresh and keep him impactful because you're not going to keep him around too many years longer if you give him the workload that you gave him last year, right? So that, you know, London's going to take a little bit to seize in, and obviously you've got Pitts, but it is still Mariota,
yep.
right? He's serviceable, but he's not going to set the world on fire. And I think Jameis is going to come back and have a point to prove, right?
Yeah, with the 1 and 2 picks as well in the same draft. That's pretty strange, yes. isn't it? That was that like 15 or 16? 16?
Oh, Jesus. Right. I can't remember what I did late for breakfast yesterday, mate.
well, it's yeah, like, so that's going similar to what Carolina have now got the 1 and 3 picks from the 18 draft, right?
Yeah, that was fucking strange.
Baker
first
and
2 quarterbacks taken.
Baker and Donald, so
yep.
pretty strange.
Yep.
Anyway.
So I'm New Orleans on that one.
All right, Baltimore go to the Jets. I think we both agree that Baltimore can kick the fuck out of the Jets. They're 6.5 point favorites. I think they win this one by at least 10. So I've already dumped money on that. So, Pats, Miami, like the Jets, I don't know what you wanted to say about them, but Zach Wilson, question marks already, spent the offseason rooting his mum's mates. Like what more power, allegedly. More power to him.
Allegedly.
Like, it's literally coming off like his ex-girlfriend's
Murdoch
Instagram.
Money coming back into you, mate. You're questioning yourself already, allegedly. Well, what are you turning this podcast into?
Well, I don't have any proof, guys. Like, all it is like a disgruntled ex-girlfriend saying, yeah, he roots his mum's mates. It's like, well, I didn't say it. She said it. Either way, the Jets, I don't know, there's just still a dearth of actual talent on that team.
Just a bit on, they're getting better on paper, but we've yet to see all of that.
Whereas Baltimore just fucking choked the living shit out of them. Pats, yeah. Miami, it's not going to be a good year for my Pats, I believe. In terms of Mac Jones, the rest of that offense, I'm just looking at this going, there's no way that we beat Miami in Miami week one. Miami, 2.5-point favorites. We've both got Miami. There's just so many questions around them in this Patriots team. They just look, they look like they have like a solid base, but there's just nothing that sort of like screams to me as top-end talent on both sides of the ball. Like, we've got Mac throwing to a couple of half-decent tight ends, couple of B-list receivers, but nothing really standing up. But Devontae Parker, like, I've got my fingers crossed that he just goes, oh, yeah, I'm actually okay, but I feel like we'd know that if he was actually okay. I think
we're missing the very, very big bearded elephant in the room. So who's calling the offensive plays for the Patriots this year?
You mean recently extremely failed head coach of the Detroit Lions and longtime defensive coordinator Matt the Spud Patricia?
Isn't ideal. He a defensive coach and now he's calling plays to your star rookie former?
In Bill Belichick we trust, guys.
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, God. Hire some more of your own sons. Fucking hell. Anyway, Miami smash him. Cleveland, go to Carolina. Cleveland. We're both gone the Panthers here just because Cleveland are starting Jacoby Brissett. And look, the defense.
Brisket.
The defense of Cleveland should still be pretty okay. I just can't see that offense really doing too much. But I say that, like, Cleveland will have one of these games in the first couple of weeks where, like, the run game just goes absolutely fucking nuts and they smash somebody. And if it's Carolina from week one, like, Matt Rule's already on the clock, right? But I think Carolina have just enough. Baker Mayfield just has a little fire lit under his ass to beat his old team and just pulls out, like, a bit of a magical Baker win. And for 2.5, like, you kind of want them to cover that, right? Between McCaffrey, yeah. Between Baker, it feels like they've had at least a vaguely solid offseason. So, yeah, give us Carolina.
And look, that you know, from a defensive point of view, they're okay. And look, Cleveland have got, I just feel that they're too much of a rabble to think that they're going to pull together as some semblance of a cohesive unit in game one, right? It feels that way. Yep. It feels like they have no right to be a real football team after the offseason they've had.
Yeah. Niners at Chicago. Hilariously, after I picked them to be the worst team in the NFL, I've gone Chicago +6.5. It's just, there's too many, like, road underdogs, I think, this week. And I think there's just a couple that sort of, like, the Niners just squeak out a shitty win against Chicago, and Chicago just stick close enough where, like, this game could be, like, I don't know, 17-13 or something, and you're like, this, I don't want to watch a fucking second of this game, basically. Yeah. But I think Chicago, this will be the game, like, where they're all fired up, they come out, they come close, and then you never watch them again the rest of the season, and they don't win any games. So, yeah, I think they cover.
I'm super keen to understand exactly what it is the Niners saw in Lance. I mean, this is going to be his first full end-to-end, start-to-finish action, where he's comfortable as the starter. Like, all right, come out and prove yourself, son, because they drove into the playoffs last year, got in there, they got the talent around him, like, prove it. So I'm going to come out and assume they come out aggressive, and hopefully they put Chicago away because I've gone the Niners.
Also, another good quarterback matchup from the same draft as well, right? Like Lance and Fields.
Yep.
Mac Jones also in that draft.
That is true.
Gold. That is true. Jacksonville, Washington. I've gone the Jags +3.5. I couldn't believe that they're underdogs, even though they're on the road. Like, it's still fucking Washington, and Washington stink. I'm going the Jags +3.5. I think Trevor Lawrence is good. They have your man Dougie P in charge now. They've got Travis Etienne. I think the Jags will win this one pretty handily. And to get 3.5 points, I'm fucking laughing with that. Because even if they lose a shocker, they're like 17-14, like, they've covered.
Yeah, there's a lot of it's a fucking cracking matchup to start to have Carson Wentz playing Dougie P in week one. Right? So that's fucking amazing by the football gods. But, and obviously he knows how to shut down Carson. But it's one of those weird ones where I think Antonio Gibson's been given a bunch of smack for dropping the ball and going to lose his job. And then the rookie that he was supposed to lose his job to, Brian Johnson, got shot in the ass. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's going to be fighting to keep on to his job. You know, Curtis Samuel and those guys have come back. Logan Thomas is healthy. So, look, all those things that were hesitations last year are back. They're a little bit healthier on defense, although Young is still fucking injured for the foreseeable future, which is disappointing because he's fucking awesome to watch even as a rival. I think they will shit the bed. I think they'll get a lot of false confidence in the first couple of weeks, Washington. And I think this will be the one that Carson comes out and goes, oh, this is why you should have stuck with me. I'm awesome.
You'll have
before
one
before he becomes Carson.
Yeah, I just think Jacksonville will just be just a little bit too good. And getting 3.5 against a team as bad as I think Washington are. I don't know, but you're right. There's going to be like, that's why, like, Niners, Chicago, Jacksonville, Washington, like, one of those games is going to be fucked. Like, just,
yeah,
it's going to be, one of them is going to go, like, that's why I've taken both underdogs, I think. And I'm just like, because one of those games is going to be fucked. Anyway.
What's the record for punts in a game?
Many. There you go. Raiders versus the Chargers. A couple of LA teams, if you still believe in the LA Raiders.
Yep.
Chargers, 3.5-point favorites. We've both gone the Chargers. I'm all right with that because I think they come out and smoke the Raiders, who people think the Raiders are good. And, like, there's a couple of moments there where you're Josh McDaniels, who's gone and raided, like, hey, did you see that? The New England coaching staff. And you're like, well, that offense wasn't really burning down the fucking house in the last couple of years. So more power to you, Raiders. Like, good on you. But they've got, Josh Jacobs is still there, running back. They've got the weapons on offense, maybe, but this Chargers team is way too fucking good. So
yeah, I'd like to think so as well.
I mean, we've talked about them.
I don't need to justify.
I'm
going to
smash the Raiders.
Picked them. Yeah.
Giants, Tennessee. This is pretty interesting. I've gone the Giants +5.5. I think the Titans are going to be a weird team this year. No AJ Brown. They've lost a lot of other pieces as well. Derrick Henry. You've already talked about the struggles of the Giants, Gaz, but 5.5 points on the road. This feels like a very squirrely game, and I'm going to take the points.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I just don't know. I just don't know where the Giants points are going to come from.
Yeah,
honestly. Good point. I'm going to go with Tennessee. They've got a lot of doubters after being close last year. Obviously lost some players, but I think they've once again got a point to prove. So they'll come out and do some damage early with a fresh Dezza Henry.
And what's Who's their rookie replacement? Receiver
Burks.
Over
Burks.
Sounds right.
Burks.
Because I feel
they've got the AJ Brown clone, right?
Yeah, and it's like that's cool, but the rest of their like Treylon Burks, right? So you've got Tannehill, you've got Henry, you've got Robert Woods, and like the idea of Robert Woods is always better than the actual experience. I think of Robert Woods.
It's only because he's Bobby Trees is a sick nickname. Yeah. So
and the rest of that, the rest of that goddamn team is just so weird. Anyway, that's why I'm taking my points. KC, Arizona, we're both gone KC -3.5 because the Chiefs will smash, I think, the Cardinals. So,
you made raised a good point. What has, in a full season, what has Kingsbury actually really fucking achieved? He set the world on fire in specific games.
Yep.
And he's looked like a fucking genius. And now they're going to be half a season without, one of the top five receivers in the league. It kind of looked a little bit like Kyler was found out a bit towards the end of that last season. So I reckon, I think KC, new weapons. Not one focal point, but a few more mid-range guys to spread the ball around to, like you mentioned before. I think they'll come out and kick the shit out of them.
Yeah. Like, Arizona usually would scare me in like early in the season, like as we've talked about, but they had so many dudes just like leave that team this year that it's just like the cupboard's just that little bit bare.
Got some red flags, yeah.
Green Bay Mini, what a matchup this is. Again, talk about division matchups. Like, why? Why? Why is this week one? But at the same time, I'm not going to be complaining like come Monday morning when like this is the 7 a.m. game and I'm like, yes, motherfuckers. So Green Bay, I've gone Minnesota +1.5. So have you. We've both gone with the home underdog.
Yeah, look, there's a thing about Green Bay early in the year where they do have quite a bit of just,
just relax, right? We're you know, this where Green Bay will start.
L-
yeah. Where fucking they'll start out shaky and they'll be like, oh, he doesn't have enough weapons. Oh, in the off season there was all this fucking the front office is a debacle and they didn't surround him with weapons. They didn't go out and get someone and all they did was fucking go get an 85-year-old Randall Cobb back. And they've left him with Alan Lazard, who's going to be the fucking next Hall of Famer, according to some guy who's on hallucinogens, right? But second half of the season, it all comes to fruition.
Yeah.
The opposite way, Minneapolis, I've called about 15 times today. Fucking Cousins, who I absolutely cannot stand, starts out giving the fan base fucking hope at the beginning of every season before they steal defeat from the jaws of victory. So I think they'll start out with all of the hope and dreams of the Vikes and they'll squeak out one that, in the end, I think the Green Bay will smash them in the standings at the end of the year. But I think right now, they'll squeak the week one win out.
Yep. Minnesota are also one of my better over-under picks. I think their over-under total was like 8.5. And if you tease it up, 9.5, 10.5, I'm still on board.
Yep.
I think they can win that division. Tampa Bay, Dallas. Great Sunday night game. And then you think about it, you're like, oh, but Dallas kind of stink. But then you're like, wait, they're at home. And Tampa Bay, that's a bit of a mess. I've gone with Dallas plus 1.5. To get another home underdog, I kind of just have to stick with it. Fuck, yep. How many home underdogs have I got? Well, one, two, yeah, a couple. But anyway, Dallas, I'll just take them because I think just the questions around Tampa Bay, they'll probably make Dallas look silly in the first half and we'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe we ever doubted Tampa Bay. And then Dallas will climb back into it and somehow just sneak out a win. So I'll take the Cowboys plus 1.5. And I know that you can't take the Cowboys, but, you know.
There's no fucking way that I could take the Cowboys in this sort of game. But also, look, from a realistic point of view, they're still no Michael Gallup. They're starting a rookie, number one draft pick at left tackle. They've lost Lyle Collins. They've lost Randy Gregory. There's a lot of pieces missing. And I just think Tampa Bay find a way to pull it all together after a tumultuous offseason. Even like the injuries are racking up in Tampa Bay as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just feel like there's more confidence that they will find a way.
Yeah, picking that one was really hard, but I'm like, I don't know, just Dallas at home. I just want to stick with it. And then Monday, Denver at Seattle. Rusty returning back.
What a fucking game.
I've gone Seattle plus 6.5, and you're like, they are starting Geno, but at the same time, there were moments last year where Geno didn't suck. It's Seattle, and if anyone knows how to play there, it's Rusty. But 6.5 at home, like it feels like that weird game where either Denver win by about 28 or 2. You know, there's like, they don't win this one by like 10. It's not 30-20. I think it's a shit ton or it's close. So I've taken the points with the home team, Seattle plus 6.5.
I just can't get past. I don't understand how the Seattle defense is going to cover Jeudy and Sutton. I don't understand how they're going to put up points against that fucking
Denver
defense. Yeah,
you're talking me around here, fuck it.
I just don't get it, mate.
It's not great.
I know we've got, usually you fucking going, I'll get you, you're just squeaking out two different than me so we can keep it close. We've got fucking six picks different this week.
Yeah, I've got a lot of underdogs now that I look at it. Seattle might be one too many. I might end up having to change that. I'll flag that with you during the week.
When you talk about narratives, yeah, thanks, mate. I've come around, guys. When you look at narratives, I'm like, there's just something poetic about Rusty coming back in Pete Carroll's house and just fucking handing his ass to him. This 70,000-year-old wrinkly ass.
But, I mean, this is also, like, doesn't this, like, this game feel like a weird, fucky game where it's in Seattle, you've got the 12th man losing their minds, Rusty's coming back in, Denver... Yep. Talk about smoke being blown up their ass. I mean, I did it at the start of the show. And then Seattle, like, just somehow, like, there's a DK touchdown. They get another, like, random defensive sort of just fumble, pick up, take it in. And you're like, hang on a second. How is Seattle up 10 to, like, 3 or some shit? You're like, what the fuck has happened here? And Denver claw it back and win it, like, 14-10 or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'll stick with that for the moment. I might turn around. But either way. Good start. Lots of differences there. Maybe I'll just keep taking underdogs. We'll see how we go this year. Because we did end up completely splitting last year until the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
What a world. What a world. All right, that's it. What a quickie season preview. An hour and 20.
I apologize. I know. I was going to say I apologize to Shaden, who said, this year, boys, can you just keep it to about an hour? That's a nice length. And then week one that was supposed to be our quick wrap is an hour and 20 minutes.
Well, I mean, this is also not really quick. Because we were wrapping up, you know, the rest of the off season and setting up a bunch of other shit and going through some awards. But I think out of necessity, just a heads up for everybody, I am about to have our old mate's about to pop with squid number two. So it might be just Gaz on next week. Might have to fly the ship solo. It might actually be easier if you're up in Sydney.
Well, I'm in Sydney next week too. Yeah, so it's probably just got to be Gaz and a microphone at a pub going... What the fuck?
It'll be nuts. Anyway, we'll keep everybody vaguely posted about what's going on. But that's it. Season preview done. Feel good. Feeling great. I like my KC Rams pick. I mean, feels a bit chalky when you think about it. But that was last year. So meanwhile, Gaz is like, give me the Bills. I'll take the favorites every time.
Right, fucking... That or the Homer pick, and you're going to give me shit about that one as well.
Exactly. All right, so we're going to try to be weekly from here on out. I mean, as I mentioned, might be a bit squirrely for me with squid number two. We'll try our absolute hardest to, at least put something out. And we'll try to, even if it's just a quick wrap-up of a week, we'll smash them out. But that's what we're here for. And then, it'll slowly settle down. That's what squids do. In the meantime, we'll be back on Facey. Twitter, IG, all know that. Fang us a rating and review on your iTunes, your Apple Podcasts, your Spotify, your Google Podcasts, your Stitches, all those good ones. Whatever app you use on the Android phone, all those weird apps that you weirdo Androido users use. Love it. Big thanks always go to House Hats for that intro and outro song. They rule. Go check them out on Spotify. Get around NBA Australia. We'll be back pretty soon with the NBA show. Get around CodeBet, my new gig. Go get a look if you're into some odds comparisons and shit like that. It'll make you smarter. Trust me. All the articles and shit that we're writing, crushing out. We launched literally just last week. So codebet.com.au or codesports.com.au/bet. Check it out. Gaz, what do you want to plug?
Mate, I'm just starting to limber up and start to wind up Eagle Australia. Just making some plans about what I'm going to do around that. At the moment, it's just... bringing in some news and content, so jump on the Facey and Instas and shit on that of Eagles Australia. But I'm gonna look at doing a few pre-game, a couple brief chats about what's coming up, and then my knee-jerk reviews of how we played.
Love it. Any ramshackle shows coming up? What's going on?
Nah, we actually played a couple of festivals over the break and had some nice summer shows, and now it's a little bit during the cold season, mate. So I'm keeping warm, and then we'll start to plan stuff towards the end of the year.
Loving it. You played a show with the Hibernators, and you've been hibernating.
That's it. Pretty much.
See what I did there? That was good. Righto, easy as. This is good. Stretching out the NFL Australia muscles again.
It's a loosener, mate. It's a loosener.
I like it. All right. Well, we'll try to. Well, hopefully, we'll catch you next week. We'll see how we're going. We'll keep you posted. Either way, catch you then, you dickheads.
See yous. Later.